Good morning and welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Manhattan. We welcome you if you love Christmas or dread it. If you come to this fellowship every Sunday or only once a year at Christmas. We welcome you if you believe in exchanging lavish gifts, smallish gifts, or no gifts at all. If you celebrate Christmas with family or friends, or rather spend the day by yourself. We welcome you whether you are in high spirits or suffer from the holiday blues. We welcome you if you regularly gain 5 pounds during the holidays or can maintain your weight. Welcome to all members, friends, and visitors to our Christmas Eve service. If you would like to introduce yourself or a visitor, please do so now.
Well, I share that Michaela's home from Davenport, bringing glad tidings. And Justin Harms, parents are with us today, Shelley and Jim. So we're welcome them, please. Next.
I'm Bryce Hobrock. I'm back for the second time since July. The thing I failed to mention last week is that I lost 50 pounds over the last 2 years, including 30 as a result of the surgery that I had in July. And I don't recommend it as a means of weight loss, but I only mention it because Elka brought it up in her opening remarks.
Jane Pelletier. I'm delighted to introduce my daughter, Nanette Buttry, her husband, Steve Buttry, and my grandson, Stephen, and my granddaughter, Blythe. They're here from Lenexa.
Kalina Stanton, I want to say Happy New Year to all of you, and we'll see you in the spring because we're taking off to the ski country. Hopefully, if the weather holds up.
For announcements, please refer. Oh, sorry.
I'm Jim Applegate from Santa Fe with the Unitarian Universalist Congregation there. And this is our third visit here. And I think I won't introduce myself next time. I'm starting to feel.
For announcements, please refer to the order of service. We want to make sure that everybody is aware that there is no additional service this evening. We are now lighting our chalice. Would you come forward? Okay. We light the flame of hope. We commit ourselves to patience, to working to dispel injustice, to working for peace. We commit ourselves to love and to hope. We light this flame as the symbol of the eternal now. Thank you. Thank you, Kaya. Our opening hymn is Jingle Bells. Please see the insert in your order of service.
Thank you.
Ours is a sharing community where through sharing our joys are amplified and our sorrows are lessened. We invite you to briefly share a special joy or sorrow.
I have a joy that me and my mom went to Dick and Judy's house at Middle Ark Hills on Wednesday to have supper with them. Yeah. It was very fun.
We thank you for sharing your joys while recognizing that some joys and sorrows remained unspoken.
Christmas by John Bateman. The bells of waiting Advent ring. The tortoise stove is lit again, and lamp oil light spreads across the night, has caught streaks of winter rain in many a stained glass sheen from Crimson Lake to Hooker's Green. The holly in the windy hedge and round the manor house, the yew, will soon be stripped to deck the ledge, the altar font, and arch and pew, so that the villagers can say, "The church looks nice on Christmas Day." Provincial public houses blaze, corporation tram cars clang, on lighted tenements I gaze where paper decorations hang, and bunting in the red town hall say, "Merry Christmas to you all." And London shops on Christmas Eve are strung with silver bells and flowers as hurrying clerks the city leave to pigeon-haunted classic towers. And marbled clouds go scudding by the many-steepled London sky. And girls in slacks remember Dad, and oafish louts remember Mum, and sleepless children's hearts are glad, and Christmas morning bells say, "Come," even to the shining ones who dwell safe in the Dorchester Hotel. And is it true, this most tremendous tale of all, seen in a stained glass window's hue, a baby in an ox's stall? The maker of the stars and sea became a child on earth for me? And is it true? For if it is, no loving fingers tying strings around those tissued fripperies, the sweet and silly Christmas things, bath salts and inexpensive scent, and the hideous tie so kindly meant. No love in that in a family dwells, no caroling in the frosty air, nor all the steeple-shaking bells can with this single truth compare, that God was man in Palestine and lives today in bread and wine. And I'm supposed to announce a hymn. No.
For the offertory, let us look in our hearts and see how much love, how much generosity, how much gratitude, and how much hope we have. And let us take our offering from that account. Thank you. Thank you, Renee. For the gifts which we have received, may we be truly grateful. May we be committed to using these gifts to make a difference, to increase love and justice, to decrease hatred and oppression, to expand beloved community, to share and to keep sharing as long as we can.
The Oxen by Thomas Hardy. Christmas Eve and 12 of the clock. Now they were all on their knees, an elder said, as we sat in a flock by the embers in hearthside ease. We pictured the meek, mild creatures where they dwelt in their strawy pen, nor did it occur to one of us there to doubt that they were kneeling then. So fair a fancy few would weave in these years. Yet I feel, if someone said on Christmas Eve, come, see the oxen kneel. In the lonely barton by yonder coombe our childhood used to know, I should go with him in the gloom, hoping it might be so. And we'll have a story for all ages, as told by John Alou.
Yes, I'd like the kids to come up. Because I'm going to need y'all's help. So that was just a poem about the oxen kneeling. Why were the oxen kneeling?
Jesus was born.
Because Jesus was born. So I've got an ox, and I'm gonna need help from you all. So who wants the ox? Okay, you got the ox. And what other animals do we need? We need a donkey. Who wants a donkey? Donkey? What other animals do we need? A sheep? Okay. Okay. What other animals we need?
A camel.
A camel? Okay. What other animals do we need?
A cow.
Somebody want a cow? Okay. Okay, there's a cow. And maybe a dove. Does somebody want a dove? Okay. Dove. Okay. And then we might need some people. Who do we need? Mary. Okay, who's got Mary?
Oh, I was
going to
say the
king. Oh, you want the... Okay, yeah. All right, you can have a king. Yeah. Who wants Mary? Mary? Okay. We may run out and we may have to get some other help. Who else do we need? Huh? We need baby Jesus. Who wants baby Jesus? Well, let's let everybody have one first. We'll let everybody have one first. And then we can have another one. So let's see, who else do we need? We need angel. We need an angel. Who wants an angel? Nobody wants an angel? Okay. You can have it. Okay, good. You've got an angel. All right, who else do we need?
Joseph.
Okay. Who wants Joseph? You'll take Joseph. All right. Does everybody have one? Not everybody has one yet. Here, do you want a shepherd? You can have a shepherd. And yeah, I know. And I've got King Herod here. Ooh, King Herod. Yeah, everybody knows he's the bad guy, right? Okay, you'll do King Herod. Okay, so you're going to help me tell this story. And part of what you're going to do, and when your character comes up, hold your character up so that we can see it, okay? Whether it, and all the animals and whatever. So, the story actually begins long before Christmas when the angel appears to Mary. Where's Mary? Okay, the angel appears to Mary, and what does the angel tell her? What? What's the angel say? I heard somebody out there say it. She's going to have a baby. And Mary, what's Mary's reaction? She's excited. Well, first she's like, what? What? How's that going to happen? I don't have a husband. I'm a virgin. Okay, right. You're going to marry Joseph, who you're engaged with. So Joseph, we have Joseph. There's Joseph. Okay, so an angel appears to Joseph, too. Where's that angel? And what does the angel tell Joseph? Mary, Mary, and raise this baby. That's right, raise this baby Jesus. Okay, so Joseph and Mary know now they're going to have a baby. And so, but they have to go to, where do they have to go to? Bethlehem. They have to go to Bethlehem because Caesar has said that they have to come and be registered for taxes. So, Mary and Joseph, and who goes with Mary and Joseph? The donkey. Mary and Joseph and the donkey go to Bethlehem. Okay, and so they go and they find some place to stay, right? There's no more houses. There's no place to stay. So where do they have to go?
A stable.
A stable. Okay, and who's in the stable?
A shepherd.
No, the shepherd's not there yet. Who's in the stable? Let's see who's in the stable. Do we have animals in the stable? All these animals are in the stable. So there they are in the stable with all the animals, and baby Jesus is born. Who's got baby Jesus? There, baby Jesus is born. And they put him in a manger. What's a manger? It's basically a food trough. They put him in the food trough where the cow, make sure the cow doesn't eat him, but that's what the cow is used to eating out of, and that's, that would be sad. But so all the animals are around. Where are all the animals? All the animals are around the baby Jesus. And they help make it a little warmer, because all those animals, they have all that warmth. So there they are, and oh, the angel's gonna be busy again. What's the angel gonna do? Okay, so the angel's going to appear to the shepherd, and I think we lost the shepherd. There's a shepherd way back there. So the angel's going to appear to the shepherds, and the shepherds come to Bethlehem and find who? Mary and Joseph and the baby. Okay, and then from the east come the wise men. Yeah, so, and they're like astrologers, and they're guided by the star, and they come with the camels. Yeah, they come with the camels. And the thing is, King Herod is not happy to hear that there's a newborn king. He doesn't like that because he's king, and he doesn't want anybody else to be king. So When the wise men come and talk to Herod, he tells them, oh, when you find the baby, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him. But is that what he really wants to do?
No, he wants to
kill him. That's right. He wants to, yeah. So the wise men, very wisely, after they see the baby, go back another way and don't go by and see King Herod. So the way we tell the story blends together actually a lot of different stories. stories where the poorest people, like the shepherds, come and see Jesus, and stories where the richest people, like the wise men, come and see Jesus. And there are angels and animals and miracles. And the greatest miracle we know is this simple miracle of birth, of this baby being born. And we celebrate Jesus as this human baby who has a human birth in a lowly place, a stable, and went on to teach and preach and make a great difference in the world. So thank you for helping me tell the story, and you can go back to your seats. You can have the animals and characters if you want them, or you can give them back to me. Either way.
Oh, no.
Thank you for helping me tell the story. They're not going nowhere.
No.
Been coming, always the same way they come, born of a seed of a man and a woman.
Each night a child is born, is a holy night, a time for singing, a time for wondering, a time for worshiping. Each night
their future courses. No wise men see a star to show where to find the babe that will save humankind.
Each night a child is born, is a holy night, a time for singing, a time for wondering, a time for worshiping.
In the Bleak Midwinter by Christina Rossetti. In the bleak midwinter, frosty wind made moan. Earth stood hard as iron, water like a stone. Snow had fallen, snow on snow, snow on snow. In the bleak midwinter, long ago. Our God, heaven cannot hold him, nor earth sustain. Heaven and earth shall flee away when he comes to reign. In the bleak midwinter, a stable place sufficed, the Lord God Almighty, Jesus Christ. Enough for him, whom cherubim worship night and day, breast full of milk and a manger full of hay. Enough for him, whom angels fall before, the ox and ass and camel which adore. Angels and cherubim may have gathered there, cherubim and seraphim thronged the air, but his mother only, in her maiden bliss, worshipped her beloved with a kiss. What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I'd bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I'd do my part. Yet what can I give him? My heart. Our next hymn will be Hark the Herald Angels Sing, which is an insert in today's order of service. Journey of the Magi by T.S. Eliot. A cold coming we had of it, just the worst time of the year for a journey, and such a long journey. The ways deep and the weather sharp, the very dead of winter. And the camels, galled, sore-footed, refractory, lying down in the melting snow. There were times we regretted the summer palaces on the slopes, the terraces, and the silken girls bringing sherbet. Then the camel men cursing and grumbling and running away and wanting their liquor and women, and the night fires going out, and the lack of shelters, and the cities hostile, and the towns unfriendly, and the villages dirty and charging high prices. A hard time we had of it. At the end, we preferred to travel all night, sleeping in snatches, with the voices singing in our ears, saying this was all folly. Then at dawn, we came down to a temperate valley, wet below the snow line, smelling of vegetation, with a running stream and a water mill beating the darkness, and three trees on the low sky, and an old white horse galloped away in the meadow. Then we came to a tavern with vine leaves on the lintel, six hands at the open door dicing over pieces of silver, and feet kicking the empty wineskins. But there was no information, and so we continued. And arriving at evening, not a moment too soon, finding a place, it was, you might say, satisfactory. All of this was a long time ago, I remember. And I would do it again, but set down, were we led all that way for birth or death? There was a birth, certainly. We had evidence and no doubt. I had seen birth and death, but had thought they were different. This birth was hard and a bitter agony for us. Like death, our death. We returned to our places, these kingdoms, but no longer at ease here, in the old dispensation, with an alien people clutching their gods. I would be glad of another death.
Is it true, asks John Benjamin in the poem Christmas we heard earlier, is it true? Historians tell us that Jesus was likely born, but not the way Luke or Matthew tells, not the way Christina Rossetti tells in her beautiful poem about the bleak midwinter. The stories don't agree with one another or what facts we have. Arguments have been made for Jesus' birth in the spring, summer, and fall. Hardly anyone who's looked at it thinks it was in the winter. And Rossetti's description of the winter is more England than Israel. So much of the rest of our celebration is, too, like the holly and the ivy. And then the Christmas trees come from Germany. The Christmas story speaks to us in myth rather than in fact. Psychologist Carl Jung tells us myths have a vital meaning. Not merely do they represent, they are the psychic life of the primitive tribe, which immediately falls to pieces and decays when it loses its mythological heritage, like a person who has lost their soul. A tribe's mythology is its living religion. UU layperson Barbara Rohde addresses myth similarly in talking about the Christmas story. The story may be part history, but to me it is primarily myth. The difference between history and myth is not that one is true and the other is not, but that history is the story of something that happened once thousands of years ago in a faraway country to people we did not know, and myth is the story that happens now, here in this very place, to every one of us, over and over again. Some of us may no longer be part of the tribe of Christians. Nevertheless, the tale continues to have power for us, connections with our past, connections with our culture, connections with our families. And what's more, we relate to the story of Jesus' birth through our own experiences, perhaps as mother or father, or even as child. We relate to it through our experience with parents and babies that we know. The myth deepens for us as we experience pregnancy and birth. And even if we don't know the literal birth of a child in our own bodies, we know it symbolically as we adopt a child or give birth to a project or conceive an idea or labor over a task. And we know virgin birth in what seems to spring from us without begetting from outside ourselves, except perhaps through the spirit that some might call God. When we take the stories and make them our own, as all the poets and lyricists we have shared this morning have done, they become mythic, tales we live rather than history we recount. The classic UU interpretation is focused on the birth, the miracle that birth is each time it comes to us, and the hope that exists in that miracle of birth each time it comes to us. Let me share more words from Barbara Rohde and her contemplation on Christmas. A story tells of a God who needs a humble young woman and long months of patient waiting and the human process of birth to bring divinity into the world. That is the part of this quiet story that still speaks to us. Christmas reminds us that the truly divine, the gifts of the Spirit, can only enter the world through us. Christmas reminds us that Spirit is more than inner feelings. It must be made incarnate in the world as truth spoken, as beauty created, as love and compassion given. Deep joy comes in feeling the quiet, secret movement of the child within. The greater joy and what we are called to do is to labor to bring forth that child and let it live in the world. A few births are easy. Children arrive almost before we know it. The right words are there on the tip of the tongue. The simple loving act was done spontaneously, almost without thought. But most births are truly acts of labor. Some are long and difficult and filled with pain. When the child is born, there are thousands of Herods around us who would slay it through violence or neglect or indifference. Yet our fear of Herod is overcome by the joy of birth. Rejoice! Rejoice! For unto us a child is born, and the story of Christmas tells us that we too are part of the holiness of creation. And so we join our thoughts and voices with those who have come down to us through the centuries and those that rise in praise of the birth of this child today around the world, in seeing the divinity in this particular birth thousands of years ago now. We see also hope in each birth, divinity in each birth. The birth of everyone here, certainly. Also, the birth of the child born addicted to heroin. The birth of the child born to the Syrian refugee. The child born to Guatemalan immigrants. The child born to the white nationalist and to the would-be suicide bomber. The child born to privilege and the child born to poverty. The child born to biological parents and the child born and handed to adoptive parents. And the child conceived and born through the help of science. In each of them, divinity, hope. As longtime religious educator Safiya Fawaz said, each night a child is born is a holy night, a time for singing, a time for wondering, a time for worshiping. And so let us now raise our voices in song with the traditional song for the lighting of candles. We're going to close the blinds, we're going to turn off the lights, and we're going to pretend that it's really Christmas Eve. Well, it is Christmas Eve, but we're going to pretend that it's later. And that it's dark. And as the light comes toward you, turn your candle to it to get the light. Because otherwise it'll drip. Once your candle is lit, hold it straight up and let the others tilt their candles toward yours. And so let's join in singing number 251, Silent Night. And we probably don't. Yeah. Okay. I leave you with words from Howard Thurman. When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and the princes are back home, when the shepherds are back with their flock, the work of Christmas begins, to find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among brothers and sisters, to make music in the heart. So may it be. Merry Christmas.